We are dedicating this class today in the memory of Raphael ben Harav Yeshaya. Raphael ben Harav Yeshaya, who's the brother of Uri Yogev, who passed away, how many years ago? It was 23 years ago. And his Yotzeit is this coming Tuesday. So his neshama shall have an aliyah, and the learning which we do today should be a zechus for his neshama, and likewise for all of the the mitzvahs and all of the involvement that Uri is involved with should also be an aliyah for his neshama. So Parsha Shlach, this week's Parsha, and this is one of the more famous portions, ones which doesn't really need so much introduction. It's the portion of the Meraglim, the spies who went into Eretz Yisrael to scout out the land to see what it was going to be like when they go in there. And so many drushas, so many divrei Torahs on this subject, and major topics like bitachon and hishtadlus, having trust in Hashem, and how to balance that with the virtue of hishtadlus, of making an effort, doing what you need to do to be able to achieve your goals in life, but also balancing it with bitachon, with the trait of trust in Hashem. So that's a very often spoken subject about the parasha. But what I saw in a sefer, it's called Tzitzkas HaTzadik by Ritzadik HaKohen of Lublin. So I saw an explanation, a short little piece over here, which was really, it's a short piece, but very powerful and very just instructive and important for us to understand. And the question is, let me just start off with a couple of questions. It's looking at the story of the Meraglim, the spies going into Eretz Yisrael, and they come back and they deliver a negative report. And we know what happens. The decree is brought down upon the people that now they have to now travel in the desert for 40 years. They're now banished from the land. They're banished from Eretz Yisrael. They can't go in because of this sin. And also, all the mourning of Klal Yisrael Tisha B'Av coincides with the day that they came back and they spoke Lashon Hara and they spoke all of these negative reports about Eretz Yisrael. That was the day of mourning of Klal Yisrael, all emanating from when they came back and spoke about Eretz Yisrael. So the decree comes down upon them that they're not to go into Eretz Yisrael. And there's a lot of sadness, a lot of pain, a lot of hysteria, etc. And there's a lot of reaction to it. But if you fast forward to the end of the whole story, chapter 14, Psukim 39, right? 39. So it's if you have the Yad Scrolls, page 810, 811. And the end of the whole story, it says, V'yidaber Moshe said, Devarim ha'el el kol b'nei Yisrael. The Moshe spoke all of these words, the consequence, the decree to the b'nei Yisrael. V'yis'ablu ha'am me'od. And they mourn terribly. They mourn terribly because of this decree. Then it says, V'yashkima b'boka. Then they rose up in the morning, V'yalu el rosh ha'har. And they went up to the top of the mountain. Lemo saying, Hinenu v'alinu alamokim eshoama Hashem ki hotanu. He said, we're going to now go. They said, we're now going to go. We're ready. We'll ascend the place of which Hashem has spoken, for we have sinned. And there's a spirit of charata, a spirit of regret and remorse about what they'd said about Eretz Yisrael, and now they're trying to fix it. V'yomer Moshe, and then Moshe said to them, why are you violating the word of Hashem? He's told you, you can't go up. Then he ends the sentence by saying, V'hi lo sitzlach, and it won't be successful. It won't be successful. Al ta'alu, do not go up. Ki ein Hashem bekirbachem, because Hashem is not in your midst. V'lo tenogfu lifnei oyevechem, and that you should not be smitten before your enemies. Ki amaleki v'kanani sham, lifneichem, because the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and the Faltim Bechorev, you're going to fall by the sword. Ki alkein shabtim achrei Hashem, because you've turned away from Hashem, v'liyah Hashem imochem, and Hashem will not be with you. V'yapilu la'alos, they nonetheless defiantly ascended to go up to the mountain. the Aron Bris Hashem Moshe LeMoshe Mikarev Machna, and while the Ark of Hashem didn't remain in its place, they go up, and then tragically the Yerid Amaleki, the Canaanite, tragically the Amalekites, the Canaanites who were dwelling in the mountain, descended. They struck them and pounded them until Chorma. So it's a tragic ending. How many people are involved in this? I do not know, right? But there was a group of people who wanted to try to fix the mistake by going to Eretz Yisrael and going in. And then they were struck, and Moshe told them, don't go in. You won't be successful. You're not going to be successful. Don't go in. Don't try and do this. And they do it anyway. And the name of this portion is called the Ma'apilim. Ma'apilim is the word for these people who did this. The word Ma'apilim is based upon Pasuk Mem Dalad, the Apilu La'alos, which is translated as they defiantly. Rashi says that there is Lashon Chozek. It's an expression of strength. They had like a lot of strength in doing this. They went forward in doing it. And they end with tragedy. They get killed. So that's how the story ends. So the question is, you know, what caused them to all of a sudden not be afraid of Amalek? Because if you go back to Pasuk, to Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Choftes, so there it says explicitly, you know, one of the things which the Meraglim spoke about Eretz Yisrael when they went there and the fear that they had, Pasuk Choftes, Amalek Yoshe Baretz, Be'eretz HaNegev, Amalek is in the south. And they were afraid. They knew who was there. They knew the threat. So the question is what exactly, why were they no longer afraid? Like, I mean, it's okay, they want to do teshuva, they want to fix it. But what happened to that fear? Like, where did that go now? And also, the more curious thing is that the way Moshe formulates his warning to them, back in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Mem Aleph, it says, why are you violating the word of Hashem? Vehilo sitzloch, you won't be successful. That's kind of funny, like, you know, you're violating the word of Hashem. Why do you have to add on to it and you're not going to be successful? As though the lack of success is the reason why you shouldn't do it. It's curious, right? If you're violating the words of Hashem, you're violating Hashem. So why add on those words and you're not going to be successful? Well, of course you're not going to be successful. You're violating the words of Hashem, so you're not going to be successful. Why is that important for Moshe to say that? So these are some of the questions on this passage over here. But to understand also, you know, the general, you know, the psychology of this group that wanted to do teshuvah and wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael anyway. So the Zohar Kodesh, the Zohar, right? It brings this over here in the Sefer, explains the whole passage over here, the whole story of the Meraglim as a remez, as an illusion, as a mashal for something which we can all relate to in our own lives. And the Zohar says that this whole story of the Meraglim is a mashal for our relationship with Torah and mitzvahs. Our relationship with Torah and mitzvahs. I'll read the Zohar inside. It says, this is the translation into Hebrew. It says, from this parasha, we can learn a tremendous principle in wisdom. Bavarei, come and see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishtabeh B'Torah. Hashem praises himself and prides himself, so to speak, with the Torah. V'omer, and Hashem says to all of us, Alu Zeh B'Negev, rise up in the south. That's the pasuk about the Meraglim. Go into the south. Go rise up to the south of Eretz Yisrael to go in there. Hashem says to all of us, go up in the south, figuratively speaking, meaning his asku b'Torah, busy yourself in the learning of Torah. V'tiru shaharei hi Torah medes lefdeichem lulmod, and see that the Torah is standing there in front of you to learn. And from this, and from it, you'll be able to know what the righteous, what the reward is for the righteous. Use the Torah to learn, and to see in it what reward comes to the righteous who study it. And there are two kinds of people. There are two types of people who involve themselves, or at least are given this instruction to learn Torah. There are Eilu B'nei Amunah. There are those people who have faith and believe, and smechim b'davar meilu, and rejoice in these words. Umis baruchim hadavar b'kirbam, and these words become like a blessing inside of them. There are people, you know, I think we can call ourselves that as well, that we appreciate the Torah, we learn Torah, And we believe in the power of the Torah. And the Torah, the words of Torah become a bracha inside of ourselves. But then there are other people. There are elu shelo nimtzu b'nei emuna. There are people who don't believe. Now, let me just kind of remind ourselves, this is a mashal for the whole story of the Meraglim. Hashem says to the Meraglim, go up in the south and go and explore Eretz Yisrael to see what it's like. They were given permission to do that. But we know what happened. There were two groups of people likewise. There was one group that had emuna in Hashem, faith in Hashem, and trusted in Hashem. The other group didn't trust in Hashem, and they came back with an evil report about Eretz Yisrael. In the mashal, right? What's Eretz Yisrael? The Zohar says the Eretz Yisrael is a mashal for the Torah. It's a mashal for the beautiful spirituality of the Torah. And Hashem says to us, go up, study Torah, learn Torah, explore it, experience it, see how it teaches you about life, see how it teaches you wisdom. But there are two categories of people with regard to Torah. There are people who have emunah, they have faith in the cogency and the relevance and the ability for Torah to be able to change one's life. There are those people who have emunah and understand, and Torah becomes a blessing within themselves. But there are those people who don't have the same kind of faith in the value and in the power of Torah. They don't learn properly, and they osim pira b'amuna. They create like a fragmentation in their amuna, because they say ma yitzmach lanu melul m'torah. What value is there to learn Torah? Like, is it so important to us? Is it such an important thing to learn Torah? Is it really so important to make a shiur, so a regular shiur, such a fixed thing in our life that I've got to run to go to a shiur? I've got to make sure there's a set time for learning every single day. Is it really so important? Ma yitzmach lanu? What kind of benefit is ultimately going to come from this learning of Torah? Hari ad hayom lo ra'inu tov l'olam. Until this day, I've not seen so much good coming to my life as a result of all this learning Torah which I'm doing. Amalnu ba. We've been toiling in it. I mean, you know, you could say that this is also the voice of the generations throughout history. Like, what has it brought us? I mean, this is the voice of people who repudiate Judaism, who turn away from Judaism, who don't understand the blessing of Judaism, who don't understand the beauty of Torah. And this is the voices that they are expressing. We've toiled maybe as a people, we've toiled as individuals, we've put this work into learning Torah. Ve'im kol zeh habayis u'reikum, and still with all of that, the house is empty. What is our state? What is the state of the Jewish people? Yeshavnu bein hamavuzim ba'am. We're dwelling among the most disgraceful of the world. We've been sent into exile. We are scattered. We are persecuted. We are tortured throughout history. What has the Torah done to us? God forbid, chas v'shalom. But these are the kinds of voices, the kind of feelings and sentiments people begin to feel inside of themselves. Two categories of people, as they're being told, go and learn Torah. Go and explore the land of Torah. Go and explore the land of mitzvahs. Go and explore the land of Yiddishkeit. There are people who believe in it. There are people who understand and appreciate the value. But there are people who don't. There are people who don't have the same level of emunah. And they say, le'olam ahu miyiska, who's going to really merit that next world that they speak about? Mi'konis l'soch, who's going to go in there? Tov lanu shelo hayinu torachim kol gad. Better we shouldn't like work so hard. Better we shouldn't kind of put all our effort into this learning. That's what they say. But v'ram elu chasiru eslei b'nei Yisrael. And this kind of word, this kind of sentiment, this messaging causes the rest of the Jewish people to go astray as well, which is what the Meraglim, the ones who spoke negatively about Eretz Yisrael, they made the hearts of the rest of the Jewish people go astray as well. Because they're speaking negatively about Eretz Yisrael. K'moshenel, like it says, Yetzias Dibas Ha'aretz. They spoke negatively about Eretz Yisrael. But Osam B'nei Amuna, but those who have faith, those who, you know, who believe, right? They say, no, as long as Kevin Shiasik Ben Adam Baratzen Alev, if you just dedicate yourself with a complete heart, with a commitment to serve Hashem, Hashem wants the heart from us. He wants that commitment, and Hashem will protect us, as it says, "Va'amuchol kulam tzaddikim la'olam yirshu aretz." They will inherit the land. That's what the tzaddikim, those who have emunah, they will say. Right? But this is the mashal of the Torah mitzvahs as it applies to the Meraglim. But what happens? What happened to them? Right? What happened to them? And what happens to people who do kind of have this negative attitude? What happens when a person goes astray? So what happened to them? Right? They lost it. They'd actually lost the land. They didn't go in. I mean, 40 years later, but they basically, the decree, the gauntlet of decree came down harsh upon them. And because of that negative report of the land, they lost the opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael. And in the mashal of the Zohar, right, this applies to those people who repudiate Torah, who have a rejection of it, who kind of like drift away from it. They say that is it so important? What happens to them? What happens to them? What happens to us? What happens to Klal Yisrael? So there's a pasuk in Tehillim, which is a very pretty kind of daunting pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "Ularasha Amar," to the Rasha, Hashem says, "Ma Elokim, ma lecha lesapa chukei? Why are you even talking about my Torah? Why are you speaking Torah to me? You're a Rasha," he said. Hashem is saying, "Why is the Rasha speaking Torah? Why is the Rasha speaking any words of Torah? He has no. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve to even speak Divrei Torah, given the fact that he's committed this rishus, this evil, akin to the Meraglim who speak negatively about Eretz Yisrael. What right do you have to go to Eretz Yisrael? You want to speak about Eretz Yisrael? You have no right to go there. You've rejected me. You've gone against me. You have no right." It's a pretty bleak kind of result, isn't it? It's a pretty bleak kind of outcome. The Rasha is basically reprimanded and says, you know, Hashem says to him, you know, you're speaking, you're learning Torah. What right do you have to learn Torah? You know, just close the sefer. Don't bother learning it because you're a Rasha. That's what David HaMelech says. And then the Meraglim, they speak negatively. They lose it and they lose their right to go in. It's a very bleak picture. The story is a bleak story. You know, it's decree. It's generations of decree, centuries of decree of mourning. Those who try to go up there, they get killed anyway. It's a very bleak picture. So what do we do with this? Like, what is the answer to this bleak picture? So, and this is where this insight really is very transformative. So he quotes over here, it's Reb Tzadok HaKohen quotes over here, a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kol ma sheyom balabayis asay chutz mitzay." Anything which a balabayis tells you, I'm going to do this slowly. Anything which a balabayis, a host of a house, tells you to do, you should do. You go to someone's house, and the host tells you, you know, please, you know, stay in this room. This is the nice room over here. You know, that's the room I want to give to you. You have to do what he says. Now, I'm not going to get into the halachas of this. It's not for now. But whatever the balabais tells you to do, you should do, with one exception. If he tells you to leave, right? If he tells you to leave the house, you don't listen to him, right? If you don't trust me, Pesachim 86b. Anything which the balabais tells you to do, you do it. With one exception, if he tells you, you know, Bart, you know, it's time to kind of go already. Like we've been here, you've been here all day. You know, you don't have to leave. You can stay there. You can spend the rest of the night there if you want. You don't need to leave, right? Very perplexing, right? Very perplexing Gemara. So first of all, I'll just tell you a story. Like, I think it's true. It's a truth. I forget who this happened with, but there were two famous rabbis, and one rabbi was the host, and the other rabbi was visiting the host rabbi. And both of them very, very prestigious, very important. So the visiting rabbi came in, and the host rabbi was sitting at his table, wanted to honor the visiting rabbi. So he told him, he said, "Please sit over here, sit in my chair." And he wanted to give him his special chair at the head of the table. So the visiting rabbi said, he says, "No, please, like, you know, you see, you're more chashuv than I am. You please sit over there." And they're kind of fighting about who should sit in the most important chair. So then the host rabbi says to the visiting rabbi, he says, "Listen," he said, you know what the Gemara says? He says, "What?" He says, "Whatever the balabais tells you to do, you should do. I'm the balabais of here. I'm the host. You have to sit in this chair." So then the visiting rabbi came back with a very quick answer and a clever answer. He says, "Yes, that's with one exception. With the exception, if you tell me to leave. If you tell me to leave, I can't do what you told me to do." So he said, "I'm not telling you to leave. I'm telling you to stay over. I'm telling you to sit in my chair." He said, "Yeah, I know. But what does it say in Pirkei Avos?" I know what does it say in Pirkei Avos. It says there are three things which take a person out of this world. Kina and Taiva and Kavod remove a person from this world, causes you to leave, right? Jealousy and passion and honor seeking causes a person to leave this world. So you want me to leave? You want me to leave? I'm not allowed to. The Chazal say, I can't listen to you. If you tell me to leave, I'm not allowed to listen to you. Therefore, you sit over there, I'm sitting over here. Right? So that's how I forget who they were, but that's the story. Anyway, so, but again, what does it mean? What does this Chazal mean? Anything which the Baal HaBayis tells you to do, you should do, with the exception of leaving. It's problematic halachically. The reason is because although it's true that the Gemara says that if a person squats in another person's property, let's say you have a property and you're not renting it out, you're not living there, you're not renting it out. It's a famous Gemara. It's the Gemara of Zenen of Azeluchasa. I think it's in secular law, it's all about unjust deserts. That's the equivalent term in secular law. But if you have a property and you're not, a courtyard, you're not using it, and if I go and squat inside of the courtyard, right, and I'm not taking away anything from it, I'm not causing any kind of financial diminishment to you by being there, and you're not renting it anyway, so technically I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you any money. There's no damages caused by my being there. However, it's brought down in the halacha that if the Baal HaBayis says leave and you don't leave, now that's damages. Now you have to pay for damages because essentially you've deprived the Baal HaBayis of his ownership autonomy. And that's called damages. That's damages. And you have to leave and you have to now you have to pay him damages for that. So that really flies in the face of this statement over here. Whatever the Baal HaBayis tells you to do, do, with the exception of leaving, you can stay there. It's kind of completely contradictory to that halacha about damages. So what does it mean? What does it mean when it says, whatever the Baal HaBayis says to do, do, with the exception of leaving? So says the Reish Lakish of Chaim Vital, the great Kabbalist. He says what this Gemara is referring to? It's referring to Hashem. Who's the Baal HaBayis? The Baal HaBayis is Hashem. Whatever Hashem tells you to do, do. With one exception, leave my presence. If Hashem says to a person, leave my presence, do not listen to him. Now, this is a very powerful thought, because who knows if Hashem is telling you that he's leaving to leave your presence, leave his presence. But we feel that, and it's true. And then there are times in our lives when we feel that we're being rejected by Hashem. Whether it be because we've done things which we're not proud of, and that happens a lot. But also, even when we've done things which we don't feel we've done things which are not right, but still there's a feeling of distance, there's a feeling of disconnect. And it's very, very common, very prevalent for a person to feel that Hashem has rejected them and is telling him, leave, I'm not interested in you. And when we hear that message inside of ourselves, that Hashem is telling me, leave, I'm not interested in you, ignore it, don't listen to it. Whatever the Baal HaBayis, whatever Hashem tells you to do, do it. You should do everything. If you hear a voice saying to you, I'm not interested in you, you're not worth anything, you're too small, you're too full of averas, you're too full of sins, you're too far off the beaten track, I'm not interested in you, don't listen to that voice. Don't listen to it. Hashem is not rejecting you. Hashem rejects nobody. And even if a person has done terrible things and has drifted away, and that voice is coming to that person, I'm not interested in you. I don't care about you. Don't listen to it. The Reish Lakish says, because maybe, we don't know, maybe the reason why there's a feeling of separation, there's a feeling of disconnect, is precisely to challenge us to see to what extent we're going to come back to him despite the fact that he's not there. I don't feel that closeness in my life of his presence there. That's a test. It's in the Nisayon. Just because the Baal HaBayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not there, is not an indication that he doesn't want you. He may have created that separation, allowed that for that separation to exist, precisely to test, to see to what extent you have that vigilance and that commitment and that azus, that brazenness in a certain sense, to kind of forge forward no matter what the feeling of the disconnect may be. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. But if you hear that voice saying to you, I'm not interested in you, I'm casting you away, don't listen to that. Be brazen, forge forward, and do it anyway. Be a mechutzaf. That's how he describes it. You have to exercise a certain level of chutzpah, of being a mechutzaf, of having chutzpah to do that which you need to do, even though the feeling of Hashem's being there is not really, it may not be there. This is what he writes, and he says, let me read some of the words over here. Very powerful words. He says that, and he gives an example, a famous example I'll read in a second. Ein lecha davar she'omid lefnei teshuva. There's nothing which stands in the way of teshuva. Ve'afim shomata. Even if you hear words such as these, shuvu bonim shovim, return my children, return to me, chutz meploni, except for you, or except for, now what he's referring to, this is a famous Gemara, except for Acher. You know the story of Acher, Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya heard that voice. He heard that voice, and that's what it's a phenomenal story. It's a very tragic story of Elisha ben the Tanna. He was a Tanna. He was a sage from the Mishnaic period. His student was Rav Meir, the great Rav Meir, quoted so often in the Mishnah. But Elisha ben Avuya tragically went off the derech. He went off the path. But one of the reasons, without going into it, it's a big story, because he heard this voice. He also heard this voice. He heard this voice. He felt he'd done things wrong, and he heard a voice ringing in his head. Everyone else can do teshuvah, but not Acher. You're not entitled. You're not welcome back. That was the voice he was hearing inside of himself. You're not welcome back. Rubbish. Everyone is welcome back. Everyone can do teshuvah, and there is not a single sin, no matter how severe, how bad a sin can be, that could make a person did not be denied of the opportunity to go back into the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be back with Hashem. Even if you hear such words, like Elisha, Al Tachush, don't be concerned. Do not listen to it, he says. Elisha Sagru Dalte Teshuva Befonav, you have to break through Ad Yiftach HaPesach. And this is what we have to do, to break through and not listen to it, to have the chutzpah, to experience, to kind of do a little bit of chutzpah. That's the I'm using those words because that's the words which he uses over here. Because the chutzpah, the trait of chutzpah, is something which is particularly necessary and important in this. Having chutzpah, you know, it says that in the era before Mashiach comes, right? This is a famous concept as well, that in the generation before the Mashiach comes, chutzpah yaske, there's going to be this like prevalence of chutzpah in the world. Now, every trait, every negative trait can also be used for the positive as well. So he says that that's what we have to use chutzpah for. We have to use chutzpah for forging forward and using the trait of chutzpah to break through any self-doubt and negative messaging we give to ourselves to do what we need to do regardless, no matter what. It's a little bit like, you know, we talk a lot about Sumei Ra Vaasei Tov, turn away from evil, do good. Turn away from evil, do good. That's the Pasuk in Tehillim. Turn away from negativity, do good. Don't do Aveiras, do mitzvahs. Don't do Aveiras, do mitzvahs. Now, this is a back and forth. What's the most important thing to focus on? Is it more important to focus on the Sumei Ra, turning away from evil? Or is it more important to focus on the Asei Tov, the doing of the good? Right? You know, two schools of thought. You know, what is the right path of Avodas Hashem? Focus on all the negative you have and get rid of the negative, or focus on all the positive potential you have and focus on the positive. So he says, Tzadik HaKohen says that this period now, because chutzpah yaski at the end of days, that there's more of an energy of chutzpah in a negative context, we have to chap that. We have to chap that energy of chutzpah and focus on the Asei Tov and just do good. Just do, just do, just do. Don't focus on the negative. Don't focus on the negative. Don't allow the negative to drag you down to the point that you're hearing voices in your head that Hashem doesn't love you. Don't focus on that. Asei Tov, just pull your sleeves up. Just do, go to shul. Just do, just do, just do. Don't allow all these negative voices to ring in your head that Hashem doesn't want you. Hashem wants you. Hashem wants all of us. And that's the trait of chutzpah that we have to utilize at the end of days, and this all times, but this particularly now in this generation, this period of where chutzpah yaski, where there's a greater prevalence of chutzpah this time as well. So that's the mess. That's that concept. How do we go now bring it back to the mapilin? That's exactly what the mapilin were doing. The mapilin, the ones who, you know, were climbing up the mountain to go to Eretz Yisrael, because they were utilizing this very trait of the chutzpah, of not of following that chazal, Chazal hadn't been, those words hadn't been actually penned yet, but do everything what Hashem wants, with the exception of, say, with the exception of leaving, with the exception of departing from his presence. They felt that in their bones, and they ignored the fact that they were decreed not to go to Eretz Yisrael. They were cast aside. They were cast aside for the Avera. What do you do when you're cast aside from an Avera? Just ignore it. Ignore the, you do teshuva at some point, but you have to just move on. Don't allow the negative, don't allow the mistakes to drag you down to not do what you need to do. And they just climbed forward. They went forward. They wanted to do teshuva and fix it by just forging forward and ignoring the rejection, ignoring the rejection that Hashem exhibited towards them. But what happened? What happened? It didn't work. And that's why Moshe says to them, you are violating the words of Hashem over here, and the emphasis is you're not going to be successful. He lo titzlach is very interesting. He lo titzlach, it is not going to be successful. This endeavor that you're engaging in right now, it's not going to be accepted. We asked at the beginning, why does he add those words on? And the answer is, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, he says, because he lo titzlach, this will not be successful right now. This technique is not going to be the technique which will be successful. It is a very good Eitzah. It's an important Eitzah. It's an eternal Eitzah. It's an eternal technique of not to allow the negativity and the mistakes to drag you down. But right now, it's not going to work because the decree has come upon us. For whatever reason, we're not going into that. For whatever reason, the decree has come down that you can't go in. But the eights itself, the technique, is a sound technique. It's a sound, it's a technique which was going to be used, which shall be used in generations, and especially in the generation before Mashiach comes, when there's going to be such a prevalence of chutzpah, that that's going to be the time when this type of technique of being a little bit of a mechutzof, in the positive way, I'm saying, in the positive way of this brazenness of forging forward, of just doing and doing and doing and not allowing the mistakes to drag us down, that's going to be the trait later on. But right now, he lo sitzloch, right now, it's not going to be successful for you because the decree has come out otherwise. But it's a good technique nonetheless. And that's what he says. And it's a very, you know, I thought it was a very powerful thought to apply to ourselves. Right? They didn't use it, or they weren't able to use it, but this is an eternal lesson that of whatever the Baal HaBayis tells us to do. Whatever Hashem tells us to do, do it. That's obviously tarrying mitzvahs. You have to do the mitzvahs. But if you hear a voice saying to you that Hashem doesn't want you, that Hashem doesn't care about you, and Hashem has pushed you aside, then you're not worth anything, don't listen to that voice. Don't listen to that. You feel he's sending you away, don't listen to him. Just forge forward, do and do and do and do, and keep climbing and climb up the mountain. Climb the mountain like they did. They couldn't do it. They weren't allowed to do it. But we can. We can climb the mountain and we can be successful.